Well, I had a little, I want to preface a little pre-burden before we get to the awesome burden tonight, which is receiving the word of Christ. And this, you know, the topic, the title, receiving the word of Christ, could also be, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's the verse there in Colossians 3. I just wanted to, by a show of hands, who possesses a Bible at home or right now? Okay, how about two Bibles? How about five Bibles? 10 Bibles? Hallelujah. Okay, well, I'll just make the conclusion, I think, that the Word of God is not scarce among us, right? I don't know if you knew this, but the Bible is the most published book in the history of mankind. It's the most translated, most languages. It's the book above all other books. Okay? And you know, what's in the Bible? I mean, what's in such a book? Well, we have to say that it's a book that's written by the top author, right? God himself, the creator of this universe. He revealed his loving nature. He revealed the purpose of human life. He opened up the mysteries of the universe. He also made it quite clear, you know, the way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. We even see our future. We see eternity. This is a book above any other book, right? So I asked you how many Bibles you have. Now, how many have read the Bible through one time? Two times, three times. Okay. No, you don't need to show your hand, but, you know, we all know. And again, I hope we can stay excited. This is not meant in any kind of condemning way. But who has the habit of reading the Word daily? Daily. Right? Maybe here or there, maybe missed one day or so, but daily, this is your daily routine. That's good. But I hope that we all could raise our hand. Because this is the book above every other book. It's a book written by God himself. Wouldn't we want to read such a book? And, you know, it just seems that sometimes, myself included, it's very easy to maybe place every other book, every other thing above this book. Because we think maybe it has a quicker payoff. It has maybe a more tangible payoff, right? Isn't this your sense sometimes? Reading the Bible daily, it can be routine. It can be, dare I say, even normal, right? And unextraordinary. But I wanted to tell you that actually there's a verse in the Bible that should lead us to be legal with our Bible reading. Now again, this is not the burden. We'll get into the real burden. You know what that verse is? It's kind of hidden. You say, what? The Bible doesn't say you need to read in a legal way. Okay, do you know Matthew 4:4? Who knows that verse? You just shout it out.
Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
So, what's the legality of reading the word? Actually, it's an organic legality. In the same way that we need to eat physical food daily, it says that man shall also live by every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God. You see that? We need to be legal for the sense of life. And, you know, I read something, this really, really touched me. This is quite funny. It said, if I declare to you that I will not eat today, and I won't breathe, and yet I call upon the Lord to make me healthy. I don't exercise either. What would you call me? You know, the word there that I read in the ministry, it said, such a person would be superstitious. And yet, if I didn't read the word daily, if I'm not in the habit of reading the word daily, isn't this you and I? We pray, Lord, make me healthy. Make me Oh, top-notch student on campus. Make me vital, Lord. Guess what? Superstitious. Isn't that touching? I was just pierced by that word. Hallelujah, though. We are not those that shirk the word. We're those that eat the word. Daily, this is our life supply. We're not the superstitious ones praying for miracles, but we're, by the word, in a daily intake, we're being supplied by God. So like I said, reading is not everything, and it's not the emphasis tonight, but it's just the fundamental, it's the basics. How about even in quietness? We don't need to declare this one, but even tonight, you're just genuine before the Lord. Lord, this year, Lord, I haven't finished the word. I haven't finished the New Testament. I haven't finished the old or the new. You just pray before the Lord, what about this year, Lord? You know, what about this year? I'd like to read through your word every day. Would you make such a prayer? Lord, honor this. Back me up here, Lord. This is my real heart. I want to eat your word every day. I think the Lord would really honor that prayer. Okay, let's read Roman numeral 1 all together. Okay, as a quick recap, we saw that Christ is our portion. Amen? Okay, I need the amen. Amen. Christ is our portion. Okay. Amen. Then we saw he is the reality of every positive thing in this universe. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Then what did we see? He is the constituent. He's renewing the new man.
Amen.
Okay, and the key there was that the renewing is where? It's in the spirit of our mind. You know, come down now to a very experiential level. Colossians is wonderful, wonderful in its doctrine. But here, the rubber meets the road. You know where the renewing takes place? It's right here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. So, let's read A together. My first Bible, talk about Bibles. My first Bible, I found it on the bookshelf recently. It was called the Adventure Bible. My parents bought it for me, and I think it was one of the Bibles that had the red text. Have you seen those in the gospel? What's the red text for? Jesus' words, right? Okay, let me ask you, what are the words of Christ? Can you be bold about that?
The whole Bible.
The whole Bible, okay. Why? Well, the words in red letters in those Bibles are certainly the words of Christ, right? Those were spoken by the Lord in the flesh. But when he resurrected, he breathed into his disciples, including these apostles. These apostles wrote all of these letters. They wrote the epistles. That was Christ speaking through the members of the body.
Amen.
The entire New Testament are the words of Christ.
Amen.
Second Peter actually points out that the Old Testament was written by men of old, but they were inspired by the Spirit. In First Peter, kind of a hidden reference here, says that Spirit was the Spirit of Christ. And on the road to Emmaus, the Lord Jesus, he opened up the Old Testament, all throughout the Old Testament, and he unveiled himself. So I'd say that's pretty adequate proof that the entire Bible can be considered the words of Christ. And even more, actually, do you know there's several Greek words for a word? One is logos. And that's the constant word here, the written word. But there's this word, I think we all really love it. It's called rhema. Let's say that together. Rhema. And rhema is the spoken word. So you know what the words of Christ are? David said it correctly. It's all the Bible. But expressly, what we want to see tonight is the words of Christ are the words that Christ speaks to us as rhema. If you want the word of Christ to dwell in you richly, it's possible with all of the logos. If you touch it in an adequate way, actually the logos becomes rhema.
Amen.
This is too awesome. Okay, let's read B together. Amen. Okay. So the word is a word that can dwell in us. What do you think of when you think of dwell? Dwell is what a person does, is it not? Have you ever heard of an inanimate object dwelling? A person dwells. And let's read, let's open up our Bibles and let's read, turn to John 15. Okay, take a look at John 15:4, and we're going to also look at John 15:7. Okay, brothers, do you have 15:4? How about you all stand up and you read 15:4?
Abide in me, and I in you.
Okay, one more time. Just that first part. I'm sorry.
Abide in me and I in you.
Amen. Okay, sisters on 15:7.
If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you.
Amen. So the brothers read, abide in me and I in you. I in you. The sisters read, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, I in you, my words abide in you. Isn't that precious? The words are capable of abiding in us because they're the I. Actually, what does John in Revelation unveil? The Lord Jesus Christ is the living word of God. The living word. This one is carried along by the written word. So when the words abide in us, actually the Lord Jesus himself can abide in us. Amen. So I hope we begin to pick up this sense that this is actually a lot more than just reading the word, right? And it's a lot more than just memorizing the word. To let the word of Christ abide in you richly, this involves letting this written word become a person in us, actually make his home in us. And Paul, he wrote Colossians, the Apostle Paul, but he also wrote a sister book in Ephesians. Tell me, what verse comes to mind about abiding or making home? Ephesians 3:17, right? I think it's 17. But he prayed that Christ would make home in your heart. Okay, what matches Colossians 3 about let the word of Christ dwell in you richly? In Ephesians. That phrase we talked about, his gospel, was the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul was just, he was full of this thought that actually Christ is unsearchably rich. He's a real person. But just as Christ can make his home in your heart, so the word can abide in you. Amen. So let's read one together.
For the word of Christ dwells in us, means that it has adequate room in us to permeate and saturate our whole being.
Amen. Repeat after me. Adequate room.
Adequate
room. Permeate.
Permeate.
Okay, Brother Ken style. Saturate.
Saturate.
So here, the metaphor changes from a person to, I'd like to change it to food, okay? If the word as food came into you and passed right through you, that would not be good. You couldn't live upon such words, right? In John 6, live upon these words. No, the words actually need to be digested. They need to permeate our entire being. This is for the word to dwell in us richly, as food would abide in the body, become digested. Actually, you know what food does? It becomes the constituent of our being. And this is, I heard this a couple years ago, and I researched it. It's slightly pseudoscience, but I still, the principle is good, and I really enjoyed it still. And it's this. It's been said that every 7 years, you have, apart from neurons and so forth that don't get changed, you have an entirely new body. Okay? Don't take me, like I said, this is pseudoscience. But about every 7 years, in other words, based on all that you've eaten, all that you've taken in, and the discharge, you know, the turnover in your cells, you're an entirely new you. You like that? Isn't that kind of curious? We just have to say, Lord, I'd just like to eat you in the Word. 7 years from now, I like to say, hallelujah, I'm reconstituted. I've been eating daily for 7 years. I'm a new person. Amen. Okay. You know, I think you've all heard this portion in Luke 24. And to me, it was actually fresh again because I felt like it combined these two aspects of the word as a living person and as food. And after the Lord died and resurrected, he appeared to two disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24. If you have a Bible, you could just kind of turn to Luke 24 if you want. If not, I'll read it. Okay. They were discussing all the things that had happened. In a sense, how their hopes for the Messiah were not panning out. They were sad. They were walking. They were just conversing with one another. And this is so awesome. This is such a marvelous account because the Lord appears to them on this desert road and he's not in his recognizable form. So there's these two disciples just conversing and there's the Lord with them, okay? And he asked them, you know, what you're up to. I'm paraphrasing. And they're incredulous. Have you not heard about this man, Jesus? Of course he's heard. He's Jesus. And like I said, they basically poured out their disappointment. And then in verse 27, Luke 24, 27, it said, "And beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, he explained to them clearly in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." He opened up the written word which they were familiar with, and he pointed them right to himself. He was the living word, and he touched the written word. Okay? And you know what happened in 31? Their eyes became opened, and they glimpsed the living Lord. Can you believe that? You know, we just need to take this. This is not a historical account. This is not an impressive historical account. This is actually a pattern of what needs to happen every time we come to the Word. We touch the living Lord who's right there in the written Word, and our eyes, they just open up, and the Lord is right there. I'm reading through Leviticus. I can't make it through Leviticus another night, Lord. I'm falling asleep before bed. Somehow, the Lord has the way. He just appears. This happened to me recently in Leviticus 10. He just appeared. And then here's the kicker. This is the best part. In verse 32, he disappeared, okay? He doesn't just stay. You know, he's not going to be expressively there all the time. Don't be bothered by that. But in 32, he says, "Was not our heart burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was opening to us the scriptures?" Our heart was burning. Can you believe that, brother? Can you believe it? Was your heart burning? My heart was burning. The word was becoming opened. Okay, and this is the phrase, take it or leave it, that the Lord impressed me with. We need to ask the Lord for heartburn. Okay? Lord, give me heartburn! Lord, as I feast upon you, as you're the bread and the life and the word. Lord, give me heartburn. Will you pray that way? You know why? Because this is how the word should be. When the word of God, when the word of Christ dwells in you richly, you get heartburn. And I'll just give my personal experiences that this becomes to me one of the most solidifying factors in my Christian life. Heartburn. Because there's a lot of things that are real in the church life, in the Christian walk. And reality, when reality and truth, when the Lord becomes real to us, that solidifies us. That bolsters us with faith. And I tell you, nothing like heartburn will keep you loving the Lord. And it's in the Word. Don't think it's something that just falls from the heavens. It's not just the burning spirits, tongues of fire. It's in the Word. Heartburn is possible in the Word. Amen. Okay. Let's read two together. Okay, it might take a little while to turn. I'll just read you an awesome verse, but pay close attention to Jeremiah. Maybe write this down. It's not in the reference there. Jeremiah 23:29, and it says, "Is not my word thus, like fire, declares Jehovah, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" You know, this word, when it's touched in a living way and when it begins to dwell in us richly, it's full of life functions. And I don't think many of us have ever heard of this function. Have you heard of this function? The word is like fire. The word is like a hammer. Take a guess. How does the word operate like fire and like a hammer? Hallelujah. I like that. Amen. Hallelujah. I bet you there is even a lot of rich meanings behind this. And I was recently impressed, like I think both of these brothers shared. On the one hand, it has a negative dealing aspect. With fire, it burns away a lot of what we have. And as a hammer... Joseph, come up here real fast. You know what it does? Okay, first think of the mind. Oh, that thick mind built up your whole life. It becomes a hammer. To smash concepts. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
And here's his heart. To smash our stony heart, our cold heart. Thanks. Amen? You know, I had a concept that I could serve the Lord while continuing in some certain, not overtly sinful practices. That was my concept that I held for a couple years. And I read the Word, I was reading the Word in the Old Testament, and the Lord had the way to use the word as a hammer to break that concept. I tell you, the word is powerful in this way. Many things that we're unwilling and unable to let go of, even we can't. It's just who we are. It's in our mentality. Actually, we need the word so much because it can break through all of the hardness. Amen? Another thing is, and I think this is breaking the stony heart or the fire, perhaps in a positive sense, to warm us up. I was reading through the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth is just a wonderful aromatic book. And it's really hard for me to speak this because there's a lot in it. But I came to this part, and Ruth, she was a Moabitess. She was a product of incest. Anyway, she followed Naomi. And she just was led by God's people to return. And, you know, there was a lot of situations where even she needed to be redeemed. Let's just put it that way. something needed to be paid off, a price needed to be paid off because of her history, okay? And there was a close kin that should have performed what's called the kinsman's duty to redeem the land and to take Ruth to be his wife. And actually, in the word, that indicates the natural man, okay? That's the first kin, the first kinsman. I know this is a lot. But the kinsman at first said, I will do it. I will do the kinsman duty. I'll redeem the land. But then Boaz, which is a type of Christ, asked him further, well, you need to take Ruth to be your wife, this one with a poor background. And the kinsman said, I cannot do that. It will mar my inheritance. It will mar my family. And I was reading that, and it turns out that actually we have no hope. We're like Ruth, the natural man, the natural man, and actually in ourselves, and also nobody else can redeem us, and nobody else wants to redeem you. We're that bad. We're that bad. But then in came Boaz. I can't turn to it. It's best to read the word, because this is what had the effect. But Boaz steps in, performs the kinsman's duty, not only redeems Ruth, but marries Ruth. Hallelujah. Took Ruth to be his wife. And I tell you, when I was reading that, wow, just warmed up. Just a stony heart cracked by the hammer and the word. I just hope that we could all pray. How about we just pray it right now in genuineness? Lord, be the hammer and the word to me. Amen. How much time? Okay. Let's read three. Another awesome prayer. Okay, and C all together. Okay, can we all turn to Ephesians 6, 17 through 18? Okay, all together in a good, strong way. Okay, allow me to act like your parent or a teacher, and you just respond. Okay, receive what? And?
The sword of
the Spirit. Sword of the what?
Spirit.
Sword of the what?
Spirit.
Which spirit is what?
The word of God.
How? All prayer. Amen. Praying at every time in what?
Spirit.
In what?
Spirit.
Hallelujah. You mean not in the mind?
No, in the Spirit.
What about those good, eloquent prayers?
No.
All together.
In spirit.
It's awesome. The word is the Spirit. Spirit is the word. It's a sword. But where's the receiving? In spirit. Actually, this is the key here to letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, is to receive it by means of all prayer in spirit. And that word prayer there, I know in all of us, we've heard it. We would say it's an awesome term. It's called pray reading, right? How many of you have heard of this phrase, pray reading? Okay. Now, let me pray read in front of you here. Tell me how I do, okay? Okay, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Amen. Oh, let the word. Amen. Oh, hallelujah, the word.
Amen.
The word of Christ.
Amen.
Oh, Christ.
Amen.
Dwell in you richly.
Amen.
Okay, this is marvelous. Actually, this is, allow me to say, and those of you who know Brother Minoru Chen, he shared with us a little bit, this is Pre-Reading 101. And we love this. Pre-Reading 101 involves repeating the word. Maybe perhaps amening the word or hallelujah in the word. Now, often when we're together in a corporate setting, this is how we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Because we're together with one another, we push out our spirits, and we repeat the word of God. But what I want to add here is when you're alone with the Lord in the morning, maybe, and you're alone with the word, I hope that this would not be your only prayer reading. That this would be a foundation, but it would not be everything to you. In fact, if I stood there or sat there and continued to pray in such a way, I feel like I would easily fall into a certain formality, which to me, as one who's been raised in the church life, has become distasteful to me. It's been distasteful to me. But recently, praise the Lord, just been helped by the brothers to even move on a little bit. You know what prayer reading 201 might be? Adding a little bit of emphasis. The Spirit can come in through emphasis. 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 I want to read to you something. Somewhat of our heritage. Don't think that prayer reading is a new invention. Okay? This is our heritage. And a dear sister, okay, if I can find it, by the name of Hannah Whittall Smith. You know, I know this has been shared before, and some of you hopefully can still receive this. Hannah Whittall Smith was born in 1832, okay, not new. And she utilized Psalm 23, which is so rich a psalm. But this is how she used the emphasis. Okay, this is a quote. "Then say the words over to yourself with all willpower you can muster. The Lord is my shepherd." He is. He is, no matter what I feel. He says he is. I am going to believe it, come what may. Then repeat the words with a different emphasis each time. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Say that.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Next word, emphasize it.
The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Isn't that good? You got an A. Prayer reading 201. The Spirit is really often in the emphasis. This reminds me of another brother here. It's a brother. It's also a partial quote of Martin Luther. Wow, what a forerunner to us. "One may remain at every little verse in the Bible, as Luther says, knock on every little twig, whether there would be some berries that would fall off." You like that? He called every little word and every little verse, or maybe a verse, a twig, and hidden berries held within every verse in the scripture. Should at the beginning one think it somewhat difficult, and should the prayer not flow at once, one may go on to try the same thing on another twig. If the soul is only hungry, the Spirit of God will not leave it undernourished.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It will finally be found that the man will see so many living fruit in one small verse that he will remain there and settle as under a tree richly laden. Can you see that picture? You're like shaking. I don't know if there's a berry tree. That's a bush, but blueberry or something. No. Hallelujah. Knocking on those twigs, open mouth, berries falling forth. Another brother pointed out that in the same kind of illustration, when you were a kid, have you ever used those old-fashioned juicers?
Yeah.
and you slice a half of an orange, and you're just juicing away. And when I was quite young, this is what I would do. And, you know, my mom would get it. You slice it, you take it, toss it. And she would take a look at that. Ben, you missed out on so much juice. You know, a kid, they're just quick with that. It's okay in the mornings. Remember, a question was asked. And you don't need to read through that much, actually. When you're pray reading, you actually, it's possible you wouldn't even make it through a whole verse because there's just too much juice to move on. Don't be like little me. There is juice. There are berries. There's berry juice. Amen. Okay. Let's just move on and let's read D together. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Do you find it a little bit curious, too, that in Colossians 3 and in Ephesians 5, when it speaks about this matter of the Word dwelling in us richly, it's not speaking about reading. It says in Ephesians 5, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and psalming with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks at all times for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I wanted to read something here from Jonathan Edwards, great preacher. Okay. The first instance that I remember of that sweet delight in God and divine things that I have lived much in since was on reading these words in 1 Timothy 1:17. This is an awesome verse. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Then it says that he began to sing the words. Do you all know that song here? Yeah. Let's sing it together. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God, honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen, the honor and glory forever and ever, amen. The words began to dwell in him. He said that he never knew such joy. Not only pray reading, but even singing the word. Who here has touched this before? Who here has a terrible voice? Myself. You know, I was reading in Psalm 45, and 45:1, my heart overflows with a good matter. And I just felt like the Lord wasn't there yet. And just, I don't know, out came, my heart overflows with a good matter. I speak what I've composed concerning the King. Amen. My tongue is the pen of a ready right. You know, I just literally, this is what happened. You're just trying to find the Spirit. I just shot up there. There's no shame. Just shoot up there. You know what? I thought that was it. And a week later, I was just walking to campus or somewhere. And guess what? My heart overflows. It wasn't just the words spoken. That had gotten into me just in a simple way. Singing the word is to let the word dwell in us richly. Amen. And before Ken comes up here, who here has the boldness in the spirit to psalm a little bit? You know what psalming is? Psalming is to use the word of the scripture to add a tune, but the tune is not that important. We're not talking about a hymn which you labor upon to compose the tune and put the words into that. I'm talking about the pure scripture touched with just a tune that comes to you. Spencer? Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Brother, can you just begin? Just give us a tune, brother. Brother. David, stand up, brother. No, David. Yes, brother.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you.
Amen! That was awesome. No shame. That was awesome. Of course, the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Any sisters? Maybe not. Oh, right here? Hallelujah. Amen. Let the word of Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That was beautiful. I just hope, despite our vocal skills, we would open ourselves to pray the word, amen, to sing the word. Amen?
Amen?
Even in this way, the Lord would honor that. We would just come before him in a new way. Amen. If you've had, like I have in the past, a distaste for such things as prayer reading and singing, I hope that he could be a new moon to us. Amen. He could be our new beginning. Amen. The Lord would dwell in us richly.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Hallelujah for the word. Amen. Receiving the word.
Amen.
Pray reading.
Amen.
Singing.
Amen.
I'm sure, I just want to hear somebody else. Come on, Eric. You want to go for it, brother? The same verse. Mix it up a little bit.
Let the word of Christ.
Okay. Very good, brother. Hey. Next time, a little more spirit, brother. How about Terry Bartek? Come on, brother. Amen.
Dwell in you richly.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, anybody could do that. We're Malthrops. Which is. No. Okay, where's your sister at? You could do it. Come on. She's bold. Try it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. How about Dave Wilson back there? Come on, Dave. Let it rip, brother. Haven't you done that? Just take even a tune you're familiar with, you know. there used to be a song called The Green Beret. It seemed like everything fit, you know. You can put words to that all day long. Okay. Anyway, I hope you would practice. You know, when you're in the shower, take a little phrase. You're in a hurry. Just sing something to the Lord. You know, let the word dwell in you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Richly, richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Richly. Anyway. Just do something. You know, do something. Get the word into you. You know, there's a verse I hope you would write down. You remember it forever. And this is 1 Peter 1:24. It's not on your outline. But I was so impressed with this, and I hope you would be impressed. This is where Peter said, he said this. He said, all flesh is like grass. All flesh is like grass. And the glory of man, like the flower of the grass. And you know what he said then? He said, the grass withers, and the flower falls off or fades. But then he says this, but the word of the Lord abides forever. Amen. The word of the Lord what? Abides forever. So when you think about that, just think about it. Everything is passing. You know, there was a basketball player. To me, he was so good. And there was the glory of this basketball player. We called him E. He played basketball in the University of Houston. He played basketball in NBA. Eventually, he's in the Hall of Fame. You know, thousands of points, lots of block shots, lots of rebounds. 16,000 points, I think, in the NBA. But how many here have ever heard of Elvin Hayes? You have? Where are you from? Houston?
No.
Oh. Okay. He's the exception. Anybody else? No. Wow. You too. Amazing. He was amazing. You know, there was a basketball player for the universe. I'm diverting here a little bit, but this is all related to the glory that's fading. It hasn't quite faded from my memory. But, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he used to play with the UCLA, right? He was a great... Have you heard of him?
Yeah.
Okay. And he had a big hook shot, you know, this huge... He's 7'6", and this hook shot, nobody could block it. But there was a game in Houston, Texas, at the Astrodome, and it was the largest, at that time, it was the largest audience for a basketball game in the history of the world. And they had this, it was like the game of the century, they called it. UCLA against the University of Houston. They had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, we had Elvin Hayes. And Elvin Hayes could jump, he was a guy from Louisiana. But anyway, this is a little bit of the glory, but I can't believe one of those hooks of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I mean, Elvin Hayes went to the heavens and blocked that shot. It's way up, and he tipped that thing away, and it was like the most beautiful thing for me. Yes! And guess who won the game? No. Wrong. Who won? Houston did. 72-69, something like that. Incredible. The game of the century. Yeah, Elvin Hayes outscored Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It was incredible. Anyway, what is my point? The glory is fading. It's fading, okay? As time goes on, listen, no one will know Elvin Hayes. Right? There was a glory, but it's only for a season. Right? We all like grass. We're all going to wither. You know, those days are over. I used to play basketball, but those days are over. You know, it's all falling apart. It's not the same anymore. I used to could jump. Now I can't. I don't have any shocks in my in my knees anymore. You know, we just wither. It's hard for you to believe that because you're so young. You don't even think. It's like, no, yeah, right, okay. But just consider, David, what's the name of your great-grandmother? Hey, she begot your grandmother. You don't know her name? What happened? I mean, she lived on the earth. She was a little girl. She grew up. She was a teenager. She got married. She had a wonderful life. She begot your grandmother. And then your grandmother begot your mother. And then now here you are. And you don't even know her name? Shame on you. You laugh, but what about your great aunt? What's your great aunt's name?
Miss something.
Yeah, something. You don't know. What happened? What happened to your great-great-grandfather? Sorry, he withered. He died. And the glory is gone. But the word of the Lord, saints, the word of the Lord abides forever. I hope you'll always remember that. The word of the Lord abides forever. If you want something that will last, what should we go after? We have to give ourselves to the word of Christ. The Word of God. We have to love the Word, get ourselves constituted, filled with the Word of Christ. Amen. Listen, there's nothing else that we can give ourselves that is so worthwhile than to give ourselves to be saturated, permeated, infused with, filled with the Word of Christ. Amen. It's also, he also said, heaven and earth will pass away. It's in the Word. Where is that? Heaven and earth will pass away. But my words will never pass away. Why not get your being filled with something eternal? You can do a lot of things. Listen, I know you need to get your biochem. You got to get all these things into your being. Astronomy, all the words and all the chemistry and all the... You've got to do that. But listen, what really needs to be at the core of your being, constituting you, filling you up, is something eternal. You know, the Lord, like Ben said... The Lord said, man shall not live on bread alone. Bread alone is what? Is what? Daily. That's why he points out our eating the word should be daily. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God. We live by his word. And I want you to know, I just want to impress you to the uttermost. His word, saints, is so powerful. It's so real. It does everything. It does, like he pointed out, when you get to John 15, it says, abide in me, and I in you. So he's abiding in us. Then he turns around and says, how does it begin? My words, anyway, the point is, my words abide in you. It changes from I to my words. What do we want abiding in us? To have his word abiding in us is to have him abiding in us. Amen. The more word you have, the more him you have. Amen. Let's all say that. The more word you have, the more him you have. Amen. That may not be grammatically correct, but I just want to impress you. I want to give you a little testimony, another testimony. This is concerning my wife. And this is rather interesting. My wife... She grew up in New Orleans, and then she went to school at LSU in Baton Rouge. And in New Orleans, her family was not religious. And she didn't know hardly anything about Christ. And she heard about him, but she didn't know anything about who he was or what's all the talk about him. She just grew up in a kind of a culture that was godless. You know, you just live in New Orleans, and you live a certain way. And that's the way she grew up. She grew up in a kind of a privileged family. And they didn't like going to... They went to a place every now and then, but you know, it bothered the father because they felt like all they wanted was his money. And so she didn't know about Christ. But she was trained to really go after it, to be somebody who's somebody. And that's why, on one hand, her mother had invested a lot in her, private schools and this and that, to make sure that she would be successful. Well, she got to LSU, and this is at a key time in America where there's a lot of unrest. It was the hippie era. People were fighting for a lot of things, you know, against the war in Vietnam and so forth. And there was a kind of a women's movement at that time as well. And there were two big groups on the campus, and there's one person who was the head of the student body, the president, and that was Collie Joseph. And eventually, Collie Joseph, he got saved at LSU. And he was the president of the student body. And he was on his way to be the governor of Texas. I mean, he had the heritage, and that's where he was headed. But he got saved. And then another person got saved. That was my wife. And she had just been elected to the president of the Women's Association on campus. That was a big group at that time. And she had gone after it, and she got it. She was president. And she was in her dorm room one night, and she felt so empty. She thought that being the president would just be the most satisfying thing on the earth. But she got it, and then she felt empty and even lonely. She was in her dorm room, and she was reading a book. And I don't know the name of the book, but the last I can remember, it just sounds like something like Gargantua or something. You know, it was a kind of a dark book, that it was full of a lot of philosophers and people throughout the ages. And it shared all their teachings and so forth. But they made a mistake. They had one little tiny section in there about Jesus Christ, about this man Jesus. And in this section, they made another mistake. They quoted him. They had one verse, and they quoted him. And they said something like this. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And my wife was in her dorm room, and she read that. "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you." And she opened her mouth, and right then she said, "Jesus, if you're real, give me this peace." You know what happened? Boom! She got saved. The Lord just came into her immediately. And she realized something happened to me. Just in that instant, that word brought faith, and it brought Christ into her. She even got up and went and looked in the mirror. You know, I don't know what she did. But she said she looked and she realized something happened. There was something different. A couple friends came back to the dorm room. They said to her, they looked and they said, "Kathy Rockwood, what happened to you?" She looked at me and she said, "I don't know, but I think I met Jesus." And they said, "Well, I believe you did." This really happened. This is the beginning of my wife's life with the Lord. It happened with one verse in the Bible. The Word of God is living. Amen. It's eternal. Amen. It's operative. Amen. It can save a man. Amen. And it can continue saving us. Amen. All the way to glory. Amen. Anyway, I just want to impress you, saints. We need to give ourselves to be filled with the Word. Amen. Okay, let's come to the outline, and we'll cover a little bit more here. Point E. Brothers, when the element of Christ has been infused into us by our singing and psalming word, we live Christ spontaneously and automatically. There's those two words again, spontaneously, automatically. What's spontaneous? What's automatic? When Christ gets into our being, when His element gets into our being and it's infused us by singing, pray, reading, psalming, whatever, singing the Word. Listen, we live Christ automatically. We live another life. That's why we need every day. The Lord said, don't live by bread alone, but in every word. Every day can be a day of what? Living Him. Living Him. Wow, through the Word. We eat the Word, we sing the Word, we receive the Word, we read the Word, and especially as we touch the living one in the Word. Lord, our aim is the Word. I mean, our aim is Christ in the Word. You know, in John 5, there's that verse where Paul said, the Lord Jesus said, was talking to the Pharisees, and he said, you search the Scriptures, and these are they that testify concerning me. But he has one thing against them. He says, I have one thing. You're not willing to come to me that you might have what? Life. Do y'all like that? You're not willing to come to me for what? For doctrine? For teaching? For forms? Rituals? Knowledge? He says, you're not willing to come to me that you might have what? Life. He's a life giver. And he gives life through the Word. He gives himself through the Word. Listen, what we're talking about here is not something... This is not superstition. This is real. His Word brings himself into our being. In John 1:1, how does it begin? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And then what? In verse 14, and the Word what? Became flesh and tabernacled among us. We beheld His glory. Wow, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and reality. This was Christ. He was the Word. I had a young man ask me one time. I was in an appointment with him, you know, just in a little Bible study. We just got started. And we read John 1:1. And I read that and I said, who is the Word? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And then I pointed out in John 1:14, it says, and the Word became flesh. I said, who is that? He said, well, it's Jesus. I said, that's right. And then he turned and he asked me a question. And this kind of shocked me. He said, why didn't he just come out and say, in the beginning was Christ, instead of the Word? I thought, ooh, this is pretty good. Yeah, why didn't he just say, in the beginning was Christ, and Christ was with God, and Christ was God? Then you wouldn't have to say, and the Word became flesh. You know what I mean? But it's very meaningful, because you just consider it. David, come up, just for a sec. Okay, here's David. How many know David? Wow. Popular. Okay. What if David never spoke? How would you know David? Would you know him? You look at him, well, yeah, he's kind of tall. He's taller than me. Yeah. Asians aren't that tall. Sorry. Well, you know a little bit about him, you know. I saw him play basketball today. Well, he plays basketball. You can see something. He goes to Berkeley. So he's got some brains, right? You know. But what else do you know about David? John. What? What?
John.
Oh, okay.
My brother's name is John.
Oh, your brother's name is John. Wow, interesting. But anyway, just think about it. When he just spoke a few words and we found out he has a brother named John. You wouldn't know that. He spoke. He speaks. Wow, that's good. But you know, when he speaks, what does he do? Well, let me back it up another way. Say it another way. When he doesn't speak, he's a mystery. He's just a mysterious guy named David at Berkeley, okay? He's mysterious. He's unknown. How can he ever be revealed, expressed, declared, made known to everyone? David, what do you need to do?
I need to speak.
Amen. Good. Thank you, brother. So, in John 1:1, what happened? In the beginning was the Word. It's by words. So it's so amazing that John would convey this kind of expression. This one who came, he was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh. The Word. In other words, He was there. He was the definition of God. He was defining God. He was explaining God. Everything about Him expressed God. He's the Word of God. I hope you're clear. Who's the Word of God? Christ. Jesus Christ is what? Word of God. He is the Word. Don't think of the Word as being something separate from Him. He and the Word are one, right? So when you come to the Word, just like He told the Pharisees, don't come to it just looking for some mere knowledge. Listen, people have been doing that for years. They've studied, they see this, they see that, and they fight with one another. They divide themselves among one another, but they have one big problem. What is that? Coming to Him. Coming to Him. I hope that even in all our reading of the Scriptures, as we read, what do we want to do? Every time you open up, even you start to read, just in a habitual way, what do you say? I just say, Lord, I want to find You. Lord, I want to find You. I want to see You here. I hope we would all pray that. Lord, I'm after You in the Word. Isn't that good? Hope we would all go after Him in the Word, in all our reading. This makes a difference. You know, there were times I remember when I was in Baton Rouge, I was there for a few months, or about 6 months. And we were there taking care of some ones on the campus. And in the morning, I'd be in a hurry, and I'd go to work. And on the way to work, or right before work, I would try to get some time in the Word. Actually, I was just reading in a very habitual way, just reading the Word. And I'd head off to work. And I wouldn't say my time was that great in the Lord back then. You know, although I was enjoying the Lord, I didn't spend that much time, adequate time with the Lord in the morning. But I did read every morning. I'd read the Word. I'd want to get a little bit from the Lord, but I was usually on the go. But in the evening, you know what I would do? I'd go to the campus with another brother at LSU. We'd go visit somebody. And I remember going to the campus, and I was just scared. I realized, what are we going to share? What are we going to say to these ones? And I'm trying to think, what did I read this morning? And I couldn't remember anything. It's like, what did I read? What did I read? And we go into the dorm room. We're there, and we start talking. And it's so amazing. Time and time again, what would happen? I'd be talking to them, and I'd say, oh, that reminds, you know, this morning I read something. And then I'm not even sure what I read. But at that moment, it would just come back to me. I knew there was something in the morning that I read that I needed to share. And it's like the Lord would just, it would all come back to me at the last second, you know. And then I would really enjoy it. It became food to give one another. We need to give food to people, right? And where do we get our food? From the Word. So anyway, I would encourage you, I hope everyone to be reading the Word every day. Amen. All the days of your life. Amen. It's the only thing that will abide what? Forever. Amen. Okay. And then, you know, it's this element that gets in us that causes us to live Christ. Let's all say, live Christ.
Live Christ.
Now tell your neighbor, live Christ.
Live Christ.
Again.
Live Christ.
And what will automatically cause you to live Christ?
The Word.
The Word. Okay, good. Then let's all read this. As we allow the Word of Christ to inhabit us, we all things in the name of the Lord. And as, you know, there's a verse here, Colossians chapter 2, 3:17. And this follows the verse that Ben covered, the matter of let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Once the Word dwells in you richly, what do you think happens next? Well, in verse 17, it says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all what? In the name. Listen, it's the real way to do things in the name. How do you really do things in the name? Everything. Just let the Word dwell in you richly. Let it get in you richly. You know what? Spontaneously, automatically, you'll do things in the name. So you don't have to worry that much. Oh, am I in the name? You know, while you're sitting there right now, are you in the name?
Amen.
Brother, are you in the name? What's your name?
Arnold,
are you in the name?
Yes.
Amen. Just say amen. Yes.
Amen.
I'm in the name. Why? Because you're enjoying the Word.
Amen.
Lord, we're in the name. Okay, going on. One, it says the word of Christ is actually the embodiment of Christ. That's John 1:14, which I mentioned. The word became flesh and tabernacle among us. Then two, when the word is the embodiment of Christ, is mingled with our inner being inwardly, we are one with Christ. And you all know the verse, 1 Corinthians 6:17. He who is joined to the Lord is what?
One spirit.
Again, he who is joined to the Lord is what?
One spirit.
Tell your neighbor, you're one spirit with the Lord. Amen. Do you believe it? Amen.
Amen.
Did everybody say amen?
Amen.
Okay, then three, all together. Because the Lord has saturated us, permeated us, and mingled himself with us, making us one with him, we can do all things in his name. Okay, good. G, everyone. In Colossians, the emphasis is that we should live in union with Christ by having the rich word dwelling in us, that the highest ethical relationships, issuing not from our natural life, but from Christ as our life, may be realized for his expression. Saints, the Lord wants to be expressed. This is something that Ben had mentioned. God's intention is to have an expression on the earth. He wants to be expressed. And how can he be expressed? Practically. On one hand, he's produced the new man, he's created the new man, and we're all being renewed unto the full knowledge of this one. We're in a process, you know, of becoming the new man in full, in reality. And it's in this way that the Lord gets expressed, but we have this question. You know, that you remember the put off, right? Let's all do that. Put off. Then what?
Put on.
And then what's we're being renewed. And the verse says, being renewed, huh? Yeah, well, there's that, but there's this matter of the spirit in our mind. How's that verse go? Yeah, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There you go. Hello. Anyway, be renewed. I knew it was very close to my utterance. Anyway, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, meaning the spirit needs to get into your mind. Well, practically, in this message, saints, this is where, like Ben said, this is where the rubber meets the road. How do we really put on the new man? How do we really get renewed? How do we get new thoughts? How does the Spirit get into our mind? It's all together. I mean, it's in the little experiences of going along with the Lord, paying attention to the Lord, learning Christ. You know, we're learning him and we're going along with him. As we go along with him, and as the peace arbitrates, we experience him. And we do get the Spirit working into our being. But practically, what's the real handle for all of us? It's the Word of Christ. It's the Word. It's the Word. Now then, in this one point, it's really interesting to me. You have the emphasis on living in union with Christ by having his rich word dwelling in us. There's a union. And that union with us causes him to be expressed. And what is it expressed in? Look at this little phrase. In the highest ethical relationships. Wow, that just sounds really high, doesn't it? I just want to give a couple testimonies. I've seen in little things, you know, like for example, some ethical relationship. I don't know if this fits or not, but it just came to my mind. I remember seeing something. I was just like, that is God. Have you ever had that? You see something happened between brothers, and you realize, there's a God. That is the Lord. This one time, this is back years ago, and we were at a camp somewhere, and we were playing football, and I think I had been beaten up from football and I couldn't play. So I was watching. And there was a brother, Benson Phillips' son, Ben Phillips. And he was just a thin young guy. He was like, he's probably like in the ninth grade. But he was tall and lean. And he went out for a pass. He had just starting to play football and learning how to play football. But it was interesting. He was fast and he was tall. Well, I'm down at the end, and I see him coming. He's going out for a pass, and it's a long bomb. You know when the bombs are? You know, it's one of those. Well, about the time he catches the ball, there's another brother coming, full speed. And this other brother is one, he's getting ready to go into the army. And he had been practicing, and he was a little Hulk Hogan, you know. And this guy, and here's thin Ben Phillips, and he jumps to catch a ball. And here comes this brother. And I was just like, I could just hear the bones crunching, and I said, oh no. But it was the most amazing thing. This brother, as he ran up towards him, he grabbed Ben Phillips as soon as he hit it, and he just put him down gently. I mean, he just. When you see that, what do you see? God. That was amazing. I'll never forget that. I still remember that. Oh, that brother, you're so precious. I can't believe what you did. That's a moment for glory, right? Smash him. We were trained that way, you know. Hit him, make him fly, you know. But instead, that's amazing. And actually, I know, you know, we used to play football with the young people. Lord's Day afternoons, you know, it was often tackle football in Irving, Texas. And, you know, mostly all the high schoolers, but often the junior hires would come out. And it's like, oh, no, what are they doing here? You know, how do we use them? You know, but actually, what was so awesome was, you know, these different opportunities where instead of throwing it to David Kangas, you know, he played football back then, you throw it to this little junior hire who's wide open and nobody's watching him because he's no good, you know what I mean? And I'm serious, you know. You throw the ball to this one and he drops it. And so from then on, they don't even watch him. But it was so neat to see these brothers like Ben, you know, they'd be the quarterback, not this one, Ben Phillips. But they would look. They look for, you know, somebody open, one of the older ones. But then there's somebody over here, wide open. Do you throw it or not? You throw it to him. And this little guy here, oh, he caught it. And nobody's around. He just turns around. Touchdown, you know. And you're like, yes! You know what that is? When you see that happen, you see God. How could that happen? Listen, saints, that's because we're a different kind of people. We are a people who love the Word of God. The Word saturating us, infusing us, filling us, makes us not like everybody else. We care about all the different ones. We care about the little ones. We care about the older ones. There's something different because of what? The Word of Christ. Okay. Then two. Let's all read two together. As the word of Christ dwells in us richly, we shall have the proper daily living. This living is in union with Christ and is the practical new man. Praise the Lord. Let's read that one more time boldly. As the word of Christ dwells in us richly, we shall have the proper daily living. This living is in union with Christ and is the practical new man. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Okay, what I'd like to do now is present a few things that gives me heartburn. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. There's some. I want to take you to a few verses. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians chapter 5, let's look at verse 25. And there's a sandwich here. It's another divine sandwich. And there's something in the middle. But let's go to the first side of the sandwich. And that's in the second part of verse 25. The beginning of it, of course, says, husbands, love your wives. Then it goes like this. Even as, let's all read this. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. So this is in the past. Please note, This is in the past, verse 25. Christ loved the church, and what did he do? He gave himself up for her. He went to the cross, he paid the price, he bore the judgment, he became our substitute, took care of the devil, took care of the world, took care of our sins, took care of our old man. Everything took place there on the cross, it seems. But at the very least, it's something that happened in the past in his love for man when he gave himself up for the church. Then, let's skip the next verse and go to the other side of the sandwich, to verse 27, which says that, what? Present the church to himself glorious, not having spot or wrinkle, any such thing, but that she would be holy and without blemish. Now, this is in the future, right? So the first one was in the past. This is in the future. The day will come, you guys, when Christ, the church will be presented to Christ as a bride. And it will be a beautiful bride, prepared. What kind of bride is this? He'll present the church to himself glorious. Listen, that is beautiful. It's bearing the expression of God. It's beautiful. It's a bride prepared. And it doesn't have spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and without blemish. Listen, this is beautiful. This will happen. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Listen, he will get a church that is glorious.
Amen.
It will be presented to Christ as his bride.
Amen.
But that's in the future. What's going on now? What's happening now? How does he get that glorious church? How does he get it? You have to go to the verse before it. Let's go to the meat of the sandwich, right? This divine sandwich. What is it? Verse 26. Let's read it. That he might sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the word. Hallelujah. Let's read it again strongly. That he might sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the word. So he's doing something today. What is he doing today? This is in the present tense. Sanctify her. Cleansing her. How? By the washing of the water in the word. This makes me crazy. Do you realize what is in the word? What's in the word, brother? There's a washing of what? Water. I love to say it. There's water in the word. Do you believe this? There's water in the word. Let's all say that. There's water in the word. Listen, the water refers to the flowing. The flowing of the Lord is a life-giving spirit. Listen, he's in the word as water. There's water in the word. And it does something. It makes us beautiful.
Amen.
It makes the bride what? It makes the church what? Glorious. Let's all say that word, glorious. Go ahead and tell your neighbor, you're becoming beautiful. Okay, go ahead and say it the right word. Glorious.
Glorious.
Hallelujah. Glorious. Listen, there's water in the word. Water does so much. It deals with the spots. It deals with wrinkles. It deals with any such thing. You know, sometimes we do things, we may repent, and we have a sense there's just, we're something not right. You know what you need? You need the washing of the water in the word. It deals with even the stain. It deals with the memory. It deals with everything. Listen, here it says it deals with what? Any such thing. You may think, oh, no, the water can't do that. The water in the word can't take care of this or that. You know, I'm just a mess. I'm so short in this way. I'll never get over this. Listen, the water in the word is powerful. It's powerful. You know, my wife and I, we were on our honeymoon. We went to Colorado Springs, and in Colorado Springs it's the Royal Gorge. And there's a bridge there over this gorge in the earth, and it's the highest suspension bridge in the world. It's a wooden bridge that you can drive across, and down way below there's a river. It just looks like a little line in the earth, but it's actually when you go down to the bottom, what is it? It's a big river. That whole gorge in the earth, how did that take place? Water. Water. water broke through that, the stone, the dirt, all this heavy. It washed. It made a gorge in the earth, huge. The water is powerful. What is a tsunami? Can you stand up against a tsunami? I'll take it. No, you can't do it. There's water in the Word, saints, and the water makes us glorious. It deals with spots. That's the things of our natural life. What about some things in your natural life that maybe there's a peculiarity? And, of course, you don't see it. Everybody, you just see everybody else's peculiarity. But you all have something. Well, the water and the Word will take care of it. Amen. Hallelujah for the water. Amen. There's hope for all of us because of the water and the Word. It deals with spots. What about wrinkles? You guys don't think you have wrinkles, right? Eric, do you have wrinkles? Look at him. He's trying to produce them. Sorry, it doesn't work, Eric. Eric is young. But you know what? He can be old. You know why? If he's not enjoying the Lord, listen, he's an old man. He's old. And you can be old. And actually, people get around you, you're just old. Why? Because there's nothing flowing. The Word's not rich. The Word we need to let the Word dwell in us richly. We need to let the Word, with the water in the Word, to wash us. Deal with all the spots. Anything of our natural man. Well, I want to share a couple of verses with you. And this is, one of them is Isaiah 55. Listen to this. This is Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. These are juicy verses. I hope you would remember these. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. For just as the rain comes down, I'm going to emphasize a little bit here, okay? And you can, I may have you repeat. Okay, just as the rain comes down, repeat.
Just as the rain comes down.
Hallelujah, for the rain comes down.
Hallelujah, for the rain comes down.
And the snow from heaven.
And the snow from heaven.
And does not return there.
And does not return there.
Until it waters the earth. Amen, Lord, water the earth.
Amen, Lord, water the earth.
It makes it bear and sprout forth.
Bear
and sprout forth. That it may what? That it may give seed to a sower.
That it may give seed to a sower.
And bread to the eater.
And bread to the eater.
So shall my word be.
So shall my word be.
My word.
My
which goes forth from my mouth.
Which goes forth from my mouth.
So what's the Lord's word like in this verse? It's like rain, like snow, watering the earth. Okay? Isn't that tasty? Now let's go to Deuteronomy. Oops. Oh, my goodness. This is Deuteronomy 32. Yeah. Come on. Oops. You can tell I'm not as young as you. Here we go. Okay, I made it. Okay, here it is. 32:1. Repeat after me. Give ear.
Give ear.
O heaven.
O heaven.
And let me speak.
And let me speak.
And let the earth hear the words of my mouth.
And let the earth hear the words of my mouth.
Let my teaching.
Let my teaching.
Drop like the rain.
Drop like the rain.
Hallelujah. My teaching.
My teaching.
Drop like the rain.
Drop like the rain.
Let my speech. Distill like the dew.
Distill like the dew.
Like raindrops.
Like raindrops.
Upon tender grass.
Upon tender grass.
And like abundant showers.
And like abundant showers.
Upon herbage.
Upon herbage.
So in this verse, what do you see the word? And this needs to be our speaking. Our speaking should be what? It's the word in such a way that it's what? It's like rain. Hallelujah. Let's all say it. Rain.
Rain.
Raindrops.
Raindrops.
Showers.
Showers.
No, abundant showers. Hallelujah.
Abundant showers.
Amen. So this is the word, saints. Don't you love the word?
Amen.
Listen, don't you need this? I mean, don't the ones around you need rain? Are they dry? Are they barren? Aren't you sometimes dry and barren? Don't you need what? Rain. We need the word as rain, as showers, abundant, you know, the dew, so forth. Listen, the word is precious. And I want to conclude with something that's really exciting to me, and that is, listen, as we are being filled with the word, He's making us glorious. He's making us beautiful. And eventually it has an effect. It will actually bring in the day of our Lord's return. And I want to go to Revelation 19. This is where I'll end. But in Revelation 19, you guys, it's something. When you hear Revelation 19, what do you think? You think of, oh, Armageddon. Yeah, let's go here. Because this is the chapter on the War of God, Armageddon. But before you get to the War of Armageddon, at the beginning of this chapter, there's something marvelous. And I hope you would pay attention to this. This begins with verse 7. Let's just look at that. Revelation 19:7 says this, "Let us rejoice and exult, and let us give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready." Wow. And then let's read verse 8. "And it was given to her that she should be clothed in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteousnesses of the saints. And he said to me, write, blessed are they who are called to the marriage dinner of the Lamb." So here, this is a big thing. This is big, saying this is going to happen. Do you believe it?
Amen.
There will be a time when this will be fulfilled. Rejoice. There'll be a rejoicing, a declaration. Rejoice and exult for what? Well, and let us give the glory to Him. Why? The marriage of the Lamb has come and His wife has made herself ready. Do you realize that the Lord Jesus, we know He's the Lamb of God, but we don't think of Him. He's got a bride. He's getting a bride ready. Who's the bride? It's the church. It's the body of Christ. It's the new man. This is the church. But He's not just coming back for any kind of church. And we're not talking about a church on a corner. He's working on His bride. And what He wants to do is produce something beautiful that matches Him, that ones that love Him to the uttermost. And how does that happen? How does the wife make herself ready, according to Ephesians? Washing. Let's all say that. Washing.
Washing.
By the water.
By the water.
The water in the word.
Water in the word.
Right. Cleansing her. Washing her. What? By the washing of the water in the word. Anyway, what do we all need?
Washing.
Are you clear? We need it. We need water that's in the word.
Amen.
Listen, this water is flowing, and it's flowing all of Christ to us. Remember, who is the word? Who's the water?
Christ.
Right, as the life-giving Spirit. Where does He flow?
The word.
He flows in the Word. What should we give our lives to?
The Word.
It'll produce something beautiful. A bride for Himself, saints. Isn't that awesome? The day will come. The bride has made herself ready.
Amen.
What are we doing every day? What are you doing this weekend?
Getting ready.
We're getting ready, saints. We're getting ready for a bride.
Amen.
A bride and a bridegroom coming together with a marriage.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, get such a bride.
Amen.
Get such a glorious church.
Amen.
Something that would draw you back to the earth.
Amen.
Listen, the Word will do this because the Word has the water. It has the washing power, the cleansing power. There's nothing like the water in the Word. I hope you're convinced. But I don't want you to know it in your mind. I want you to enjoy it. Let's all declare, there's water in the Word.
There's water in the Word.
Tell your neighbor that.
Tell your
Your other neighbor.
Water.
And just tell your neighbor, it will make you glorious.
It will make you glorious.
Amen. And then, this is not the ending. This is not the ending. You just go on a little bit further and look what happens. In verse 11, he says, I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse. And he who sits on it. This is the beginning of Armageddon, okay? You ready? We're getting ready to see what's the result of all these ones that have been in the Word, washed in the water of the Word. They've been sanctified. There's no spots or wrinkles or any such thing. They just love the Word. They're in the Word. They're washed in the Word. The bride has made herself ready. And here all of a sudden, there's a wedding. But all after that, there's a marriage. And then what happens next? I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sits on it, called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. In his eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written, which no one knows but himself. And he is clothed with a garment dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. His name is called what? The Word of God. Wow. And then look at who's following. And the armies, which are in heaven, followed him on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth proceeds a sharp sword, that he might smite the nations, and he will shepherd them with an iron rod, and he treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. And he has on his garment, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But right here in the middle of this, saints, what do you see? You see a marriage with a bride married to the Lamb. She's made herself ready. There's a wedding. And then what happens right away? Listen, this bride wears army boots. You've heard that? This bride wears army boots. Listen, we're being made beautiful, but look at each other's feet. Tell them, listen, army boots. Tell your neighbor, army boots. Because we're headed somewhere. Because we are the armies. That's exactly right. We're the armies in heaven following him. Isn't that what it says? And who are we following? Amen. Who are we following?
The Word
of God. What's his name?
The Word of God.
Why would we follow him? Because we love the Word. We're being filled with the Word.
Amen.
We're being filled with Him. And what do? We follow Him.
Amen.
We follow the Word of God.
Amen.
This is how Armageddon begins. This is how it's all going to unfold. Can you believe that? The Lord is going to have a bride as His army following Him there to deal with all the evil armies of this earth. Do you realize? This is where we're headed. I love that. Wow. Let's all say, wow.
Wow.
I just think it's awesome. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His words will never pass away.
Amen.
His words are spirit and they're life, right?
Amen.
They're living and operative. They're full of water to wash away all spots and wrinkles and any such thing. And this Word is filling us with Himself.
And
the more we're in the Word, the more we love Him. And actually, we want to follow Him. We want to deal with what He wants to deal with.
Amen.
Right? He's reproducing Himself in us.
Amen.
Through His Word.
Amen.
Well, I think I better stop and leave it to you guys. I hope you could speak something. Say something. Something short. It doesn't have to be long. Just speak for Him.
Amen.
Let the Word just flow out. Amen. Let's all shout hallelujah. Hallelujah for the Word.
Hallelujah for the Word.
Hallelujah for the water in the Word.
Hallelujah for the water in the Word.
Amen.